Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. I'm John Stillman. Right now, alongside Eric Hogarth, we'll hear from Heather Atkins later on in the show with a woman's word. But Eric, always a pleasure. What's happening with you this week?
Doing fantastic. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good now that we're here on the air. Always a pleasure to do this every week. So let's dive right into it. People have a lot of financial and retirement planning questions, a lot of anxiety out there right now, it seems like. So let's just get right into it. We're going to have a little discussion here that we'll title, "Well, I heard," because I know you have people all the time who say to you, "Well, I heard dot, dot, dot," right? So we're going to fill in the blank there. Some of the things that people often say they heard. And you tell us, well, is that true or not? How might that affect your financial planning if you accept that to be true and it actually isn't? So as an example, Eric, well, I heard that you have to have at least $1 million to retire these days.
This is great. People say this every day, right? And what are we always talking about? There's no shortage of advice out there. Here we are talking about it now. There's 24/7 access to input on what you should be doing or do this or do that. And the reality is that getting educated, learning more, that's good stuff. But be very careful. Well, not even very careful. Don't take financial advice from people that don't know the specifics of you. It's so specific in regards to this. Like, you need at least $1 million to retire, which I will tell a story because I met with a woman once. And she was so upset coming in because her boss had told her, she was a single lady, had two grown children, that you couldn't retire in Connecticut unless you had $2 million. And she was distraught. She was so upset because she didn't have anywhere near $2 million. And outside of the lotto, you know, she never would. And the first thing I said to her might have been as blunt as, "Your boss sounds like an idiot." What are you talking about? There's people that spend $2 million a year. There's people that couldn't spend it if they had 300 years. It's different. Do you have a pension? Are you going to get Social Security? Do you have debt? What's your lifestyle? So everyone's number is different. It is important that you know what number you need because we all have one. So it's not really, it's $1 million. Is $1 million enough invested the right way to generate income so I can live how I want to live for as long as I'm going to live, remaining independent, doing what I want to do? That's the answer you got to be able to answer. But it's specific to you. And like I often say, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. So just be careful. Be real careful, you know, getting that input from someone else.
Sounds like there's probably a lot of people out there who are continuing to work when they actually could retire and be just fine because they think they have to get to a certain number. And then maybe other people that are thinking, all right, well, once I get to $1 million, I'm good. And they actually need more. So,
well, yes. And then also when someone has a number in their head and they get to the number, then what happens? They don't want to spend any money because they don't want to go below the number. And it's, you know, why do you save money? Well, to be able to retire and live how I want to live. Well, that is probably going to involve spending money. So again, get a plan, get some feedback, because you didn't save this money. You didn't work this hard, make all these, you know, good decisions to put yourself in this spot so you can spend the rest of your life terrified to spend your own money. The person who dies with the most money is not the winner.
All right. So another thing that people say is, well, I heard that you should start Social Security as early as you can because the whole system is going to go bankrupt and you need to get your money now.
The more money that you save, the more flexibility you have is something that I often say. Meaning, right, you just alluded to it. There's two groups of people, right? People that have saved enough money to retire, people that haven't, right? So that's the I have enough, I don't have enough. And we all want to grow our money. We all want more money, but do you need more money, right? So getting into Social Security gets into, well, when I retire, I'm going to need income. So if we keep it real simple and we have, here's your Social Security, and here's all the money that you saved. Well, if you die, where's all the money you saved go? Well, it goes everywhere that I want it to go. Well, if you die and you're single, where's your Social Security go? Well, it's gone. Okay. I'm retired and I need money. So that sounds like I can either spend my own money or I can spend Social Security, otherwise known as someone else's money. And I'm a big advocate of that. At the same time, if you haven't saved enough money to retire, number one, don't retire. Number two, if you don't have a choice in the matter, you better wait as long as possible to draw that Social Security because your only shot at increasing your income to keep up with the cost of living is your Social Security benefit, and age 70 is when you get your max benefit. But I'm not a big fan of waiting that long if you have options.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? Well, I heard that the market is going to tank because of and right here. You can fill in.
It's the end of the year.
Literally
it's
anything that's yeah, anything that's happening in the news at the moment, right? The market
it's
is going
to tank. It's an election year.
Because of blank. So I should get my money out now.
You know, sometimes people say, you know, oh, you know, my friend's a day trader. You know, that's kind of like saying, you know, my friend goes to the casino every day and most of the time they lose, like 99% of the time. It's just like, it's not, it's, listen, brilliant people on Wall Street, computers, no one can tell the future, no matter how hard you try. You can look at the historical data showing, well, what happens when a Republican wins? What happens when a Democrat wins? What happens, you know, sell in May and go away? You know, the market tanks every year in the summer. No, it doesn't. Like, it doesn't. We have computers that can give us all this historical data. Listen to Warren Buffett. It's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. But part of that is you have to have good balance. Don't break the rules. Don't put all your money into one stock, no matter how good it is. You know, make sure you have money for today and money for later. You need a plan because then you have flexibility. What do we all know? When the market is down, what should you not do if you own good stuff? Well, don't get out of it. Well, if that's everything you own and you need income or you're past required minimum distribution age and the IRS is forcing you to take money out and all your money is in that Apple stock and is down, where are you getting the money? You're selling. Well, I don't want to. Well, you have to. Make sure you have a plan so you have options.
Well said. The plan is what makes all of this work for you. We're talking about things that people say, well, I heard this or I heard that. How about this one, Eric? Well, I heard I should try and keep my house in the divorce because it'll comfort me emotionally and not have to uproot.
That might be the case. Can you afford the house? You know, because if you're getting divorced and you're splitting up assets and you're going to get half and you have $1 million and half a million of that is a house and half a million of that is assets and you keep the house, how are you paying for the house? Now, everyone's financial situation is different. You know, do you have little kids? I get it. You got to do what's right for you financially, but what's right for you and your family as well. But a lot of times people will keep a house that they can't afford because I got to keep the house, but then it, you know, disastrous to your financial plan because you're spending all your money on the house. And if you are working and not saving any money for retirement, what are you going to do when you actually can't work anymore? You know, but it's like, you know, divorce, death, retirement, getting laid off. You know, when you have these big life events, a lot of the advice is don't make any drastic changes. Make sure that you're not going to be looking back saying, ah, geez, I wish I didn't do that. But look at what your options are and make sure that you're choosing the best one for you right now and for the future.
All right, last one for you in this category, Eric. Well, I heard that soon the dollar isn't going to be the world's reserve currency anymore and it's going to destroy life as we know it.
You know, I'm sure there's lots of podcasts on this subject. I know there's lots of newsletters on it. And I just don't think that's a realistic concern. That the, you know, that's like when people say, well, you know, if I put money in the S&P 500, what if it goes to zero? That entails the 500 largest companies in the United States all going bust. What is the likelihood that every one of the top 500 companies in our country goes to zero? I can't say it's zero, but it's pretty darn close to zero. Same thing as an instance where you should just sell all your investments and buy potatoes, shotgun shells, and gold bars. I'm not making fun of it, but it's just not a realistic concern to base your entire strategy around. So I wouldn't be concerned about that.
All right. So I think the main point of this entire discussion, Eric, is something you said a moment ago. The plan is what allows you to make the decisions that are right for you and not get caught up in the anxiety of the news of the day or what your neighbor says or how your brother-in-law invested or what your boss said. Having the plan gives you the freedom to make the decisions that work for you. So if somebody doesn't have a plan, tell us how you get that plan in their hands.
And you do need a plan. You could be 25 years old with a plan. You could be 75 without a plan. It's not too late to get one. And why do I have a plan? So you can have peace of mind. Because there's going to be days that are better than other days. There's years in the market that are good, that are bad. This is happening, that's happening. And people say, well, you know, this instance that is happening right now, it's never happened before. Well, it probably has. But it's never happened for you before, at this phase of life before. And when you get nervous and you panic, people make mistakes that they usually end up regretting. So have a conversation about this stuff. We hope best case scenario. You also have to plan and prepare worst case scenario. So come in and see us. We'll talk about this stuff. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I've got to put all these things together. Just make a phone call, schedule a visit, have a conversation, and I think you'll feel better as a result of it. So you can do that by calling us at 1-800-705-1232. You're going to leave a message. We're going to call you back. And to schedule time to talk. And we talk about a lot of stuff on the show. this is your time to talk about anything that is on your mind, where you can get honest feedback on what we see of where you are. So call us 1-800-705-1232. It'll help.
Once again, 800-705-1232. That's the number to get in touch with the team at Johnson Brunetti. Now, if you're calling, you're going to leave a message. You don't need to talk to anybody right now, which means you don't need to have your calendar in front of you right now. So don't let that be a hindrance to you. Right now, you just need to call while it's on your mind and say, yes, I would like to have this conversation. I would like to go through the Money Map retirement review process. Then somebody from the team will call you back later during regular business hours and help you get scheduled for that time at the time that works for you. And we should say, in the office that works for you. You have multiple options there. So find the one closest to home for you. 800-705-1232. You can also text that number if that works better for you. If you're not in a place you can call right now, just include your name in that text. And same thing, somebody will get back to you during regular business hours and set up a time for you. 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll be back with Eric Hogarth in just a moment. But right now, let's hear from Heather Atkins, A Woman's Word.
It's time for A Woman's Word.
Yes, indeed. We now turn to Heather Atkins, certified financial planner at Johnson Brunetti. And Heather, today we're talking about Social Security spousal benefits. Obviously, this would apply to both spouses. Both spouses need to know about it. But often we find that it is more important that the wife is aware of how this works. So explain to us how the spousal benefit works with Social Security and why it matters that we know it.
Sure. So Social Security is just not going to outright say, you know, here are all your options and this one's going to pay you the most. So spousal benefits is where you're actually collecting half of your husband or wife's full retirement age benefit. So you're eligible for 50% of your spouse's full retirement age amount. So for most people, full retirement age is between 66 and 67 years of age. And women especially, because we are oftentimes leaving the workforce or have some hiccups or zeros on our Social Security report, we really got to maximize the amount of money we're getting from Social Security. And oftentimes that can lead to taking a spousal benefit and maybe taking a reduced amount of our own benefit as early as 62 and then transitioning to that spousal 50% benefit at 66 or 67.
So let's put some actual numbers on it and assume that the husband's benefit is $2,000 a month. Wife thinks she's going to get $700 a month because maybe she was out of the workforce for a while, like had kids, didn't work for 15 years, got back in later. So she's entitled to $700 a month. Husband's getting $2,000. When they come in to visit with you, you're going to have a surprise for them, right?
Yeah, good surprise here, because if she's under the impression, based on the, you know, report, she's getting $700 when she hits her full retirement age, she could, in fact, just collect her own reduced benefit as early as 62 and then transition to getting actually $1,000 a month at her full retirement age, assuming her husband has in fact filed for his benefits. So he's getting $2,000, she's getting $1,000. So that's $300 more a month that they weren't really planning on receiving.
Yeah, and it's important too, because Social Security is not taxed as heavily as other streams of income usually, right? So the more you can increase your Social Security, the better it is overall. What about down the road? Husband has passed away. What are we looking at with benefits now?
Benefits are going to go down. So if it was that scenario, $2,000 a month on his, $1,000 a month coming in for her for the spousal amount, she's now going to receive $2,000 a month instead of the $1,000. That portion that she was getting is going to drop off. So it's really key that when we're looking at the long-term income plan, we're accounting for that worst case scenario, that what will it look like if and when, you know, there's just one person in the mix. Do they have enough income to still get by and maintain that lifestyle? So the higher benefit will stay intact.
Bottom line is Social Security is a pretty important part of your retirement income plan, and you need to make the most of it, make it fit in with all of your other retirement income streams. The team at Johnson Brunetti can help you figure that out. Heather, thanks as always. This has been A Woman's Word. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Thank you, Heather. And we're back now with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. Eric, let's open up the mailbag and see what folks have for you this week. This is from Jack, not your Jack, I'm assuming. This is from a different
four.
Jack. Yeah, your Jack is four. My wife has a medical condition. Yeah, so another clue that it's not your Jack. My wife has a medical condition that's been difficult to manage for several years. There's a new treatment for it that seems to be effective in about 80% of cases, but it's still in the experimental phase, so insurance doesn't cover it. It would cost about $65,000 for her to get treated. We don't have nearly that much sitting in the bank, so I'd be faced with either taking an early withdrawal from retirement funds or somehow getting money out of one or two of our rental properties. What guidance can you give us? I feel bad for Jack, but I like this question because this is exactly the kind of question that requires wisdom. It's not like there's a textbook you can look in and figure out the answer. So what's your wisdom on this, Eric?
And me too, feeling bad for Jack. That's a tough situation. And that's, you know, this conversation in various forms comes up in retirement planning is the basics of, okay, you know, this is something that I need to do or I want to do. How do we do it? You know, so what's the strategy around doing it? Sometimes it's the affordability. Can we buy that second home? Sometimes it's an instance like this. This is something that we need to do. And how do we best do it? So how can we access our funds as tax efficiently as possible? I didn't see in here, Jack, if you're still working. If you are still working, you have the option of a loan off of your 401k. You know, that's a non-taxable option for now that allows you to access money without a penalty, without tax, and then you just pay that money back with contributions you're making. The rental properties, and of course, you know, we're not accountants, but the rental properties in all likelihood you've been depreciating down, so you might have a lot of tax in selling one of those assets. That's also assuming that you could sell that asset, but still look at how much income are you generating off that asset. Also dependent upon your age, if you're over the age of 59 and a half, you can take money out of retirement plans, pay ordinary income tax on it. You also have the option of loans, dependent upon the interest rate environment that you are listening to this in. As an example, if it's right now, interest rates on loans aren't that good. And then you figure out how long you're going to need that money for. You know, is this an ongoing expense or one time? But make sure you're getting good input, either in Jack's situation or anyone's situation, thinking about where to draw money from. Don't just arbitrarily take it out of the account you think is easiest, because that might not be the best move for you.
Seems like one of those cases where it's not always solely about the money, right? Like, here's a situation where we have a health issue in question. If it drastically improves her life, well, then maybe it's worth making something that seems like, on its face, a bad financial decision if it substantially improves life. At the same time, you know, he says himself, there's an 80% chance of it being effective.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantees here. Just a tricky situation. That's a great example of why you need somebody by your side helping you along in these life situations, which is exactly what your job really is, right? It's not picking investments. It's this kind of stuff right here.
Yeah. And you know, people ask about, so we work in retirement planning is what we say. Well, what's that? Is that, you know, the people that we're talking to are for the most part done saving money. You know, what they have is what they're going to have. Of course they want to grow it. Maybe they'll work some and they'll save a little bit. For the most part, they are done saving money, and this money has to last the rest of their life. How long is that going to be? Hopefully a long time. You know, but I like having these conversations because retirement is not an easy thing for a lot of people. A lot of people have a hard time okay, well, I'm going to spend this. And then if you couple that with, oh, the market's lousy and I got money in the market and I'm losing money every month, so how the heck am I going to live on this for the rest of my life if I'm taking nothing out and it's going down? I mean, this is daunting stuff. At the same time, get input from people. You know, you've done this once. You know, we've done it thousands of times. And there's other groups in the similar situation. It's, you know, you don't want someone experiencing this for the first time with you. You know, get with experienced groups that this is what they focus and specialize in, because, you know, you have options. And in all likelihood, if you've done a good job saving, you know, you're going to be fine. But you need a plan so that you feel good about that.
Thanks for the question, Jack. How about Kathy, who says, my financial advisor doesn't seem to be interested in answering any questions about anything that isn't directly related to the investments that he's managing for me. I've asked him about when I should start my Social Security. He said he's not an expert on that. I also asked him for some advice on my household budget, and he didn't want to weigh in. Is this common?
This is common. I hear this a lot from people coming to sit down with us. Is the person that we work with, they're really, you know, they're an investment advisor, and they don't really get into the planning side of it. So I see that as a responsibility of an advisor. I mean, that's, even if I'm talking to a 30-year-old and, okay, well, we've got little kids and we're saving for college, and is that the right thing to be doing? Should we use a 529? Like, advice is what our responsibility is. Like, I don't see the most important thing we're doing is managing, picking investments for people. It is, you know, a large way that, you know, John Spumanetti makes money. But I see our responsibility as being, you know, prudent advisors to people. At the same time, I appreciate this person saying, hey, I'm not an expert on Social Security, because the smartest people I've ever met know that, you know, you can't be an expert in everything. And that's when it gets dangerous. If someone says, yeah, well, I can help you with this, and I can help you with that, and I can help you with this. And it's like, how do you know how to do all this stuff? You know, should you really be a dentist and a CPA, you know, and my eye doctor? Can you handle all that? Yeah. I'm pretty good at all those things. So you don't want that.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure that the person that you're working with specializes in the phase of your life that you need. You know, people ask, you know, how come you're not working with a lot of 30-year-olds? And we do. There are, for the most part, our clients' kids, is because the whole strategy at that point is just accumulation. Save as much money as you can, allocate to the market, and leave it alone. Well, how much should I save? More. You save as much as you can, but it's all different when you get to retirement, because now you're not saving, and now you need the money.
Very good. All right, last question. We'll make this a quick one from Elizabeth. How do I know if I need a trust or not? It seems like recently I've heard a lot of people I know who have set one up.
Elizabeth, that's a loaded one, but we'll keep it simple. You die, where's the money go? Well, it's all going to go to my kids. You okay if they get it all at once? Yes. Do you have upwards of several million dollars? You know, you start to narrow in on, you know, whether or not you need a trust, but where it comes out in the basic form, and bottom line, there's lots of different trusts out there. I'm a firm believer that everyone needs a will. And I actually talked to a friend of mine who's a lawyer, who said, well, I don't know if anyone needs a trust. And he's a lawyer who sets these things up. And I disagree. I am not a lawyer. A lot of people are apprehensive about what's going to happen to this money when I'm gone. Or is this going to help people, or is this going to hurt people? What if someone gets divorced? What if someone gets sued? What if someone gets hurt? I advocate everyone sits down with an estate planning attorney, just have a conversation about this stuff if you're approaching retirement. And if you're a younger person, get a will. Hope best case, plan to prepare worst case. So I can't tell you, Elizabeth, whether or not you need a trust, but a good attorney can, and get some different input on that. And, you know, the attorneys that we know will sit down with you for a consultation. They won't charge you anything, and they'll tell you what they think.
Bottom line, you shouldn't make any big decisions on any of this until you've gone through the MoneyMap retirement review process. Get that plan in place for yourself. Eric, how does somebody make that happen?
Give us a call, 1-800-705-1232. And, you know, today's conversation kind of ran the gamut of the things that come up in these meetings. It's not, hey, you know, do you think I should buy Apple stock? Which, you know, don't get me wrong. That's a fun conversation. It's really more about, you know, are we doing the right things? Are we thinking the right things? You know, what can we do? What can't we do? Are we making mistakes? None of us know what we don't know. So that's where, you know, experience comes in and helps a lot. So give us a call, 1-800-705-1232. If you are getting close to retirement, or you are retired, or really any phase of life, just give us a call and have a conversation about this stuff, because I bet we can help.
800-705-1232 is your number to call or text to get in touch with the team at Johnson Brunetti. 800-705-1232. Thanks to Heather Atkins, Eric Hogarth, and the entire team at Johnson Brunetti. We'll talk with you next week right here, same time, same place, on Money Wisdom.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.